August 10th, 2008, you are listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Welcome to the TFormers.com podcast. I am your host, Iron High 1975, and I'm joined by my pain in the butt co-host,
Luscious Zipiper.
Oh, it's going to be a wacky show already. I can automatically tell. Alrighty. Well, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just dandy. How are you?
I'm just fine. Indubitably. Alrighty. Well, I guess we should jump into some Transformer news. What do you think?
Actually, I think it's kind of what they're here for. Absolutely. Let's do this.
All right. First off, I just want to give a shout out to the Moonbase 2 podcast for having me on their show. 2 hours and 10 minutes of joyous Transformer talk. So go check them out. I don't have their link off the top of my head, but I'm sure if you type in Moonbase 2 podcast, you'll find them in the famous Google engine. All right. That being said, thanks, guys, for having me on. And moving on to news. Z, will you begin? Oh, no, I begin. I'm starting. Sad news, Transformers star and comedian Bernie Mac dies. Who saw that one coming?
Well, he actually had, if you do a little bit of a search on it, he had the sarcoidosis, and they're not really sure if that's, or at least they're not releasing if that was the problem. They were saying it was complications from pneumonia, but he had been ill and in and out of the hospital previously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, they weren't expecting him to die.
I mean, do people die from pneumonia? Is pneumonia really that serious of a condition?
Have you ever heard of a little creative gentleman called Jim Henson?
I thought it was the flesh eating virus that it got him. No?
No, sir.
Urban legend?
It was basically that, and that's what's so tragic about it is, if I remember correctly, it was a while ago, he didn't go to the doctor in time. He's like, oh, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. No, I'll go later. I'm busy. And then by that time, it advanced so much that by the time he was really serious, it was just way too late.
So pneumonia is really that serious of an issue.
Yes.
I thought, because you hear all the time people say, oh, I had pneumonia, da 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 da.
It's one of those things where, I mean, obviously you can go to the webmd.com and look that up if you really want to see what it does to you. But yes, if it's left untreated, it'll kill you.
Oh. Well, that's sort of sad because he was only 50, which is pretty much today's 30. And I think he had a couple young kids too. So, I mean, this is kind of, that's like, and my dad's older than him. That's messed up. So
no, it was. He was one of the comedians that I really enjoyed. Actually, I liked his. I never really got into his show, the Bernie Mac show.
Yeah.
But I did like his movie work. I liked his presence. I liked him in Ocean's 11 a lot.
He was always great for whatever character he was in. He was a good whatever movie he was in. He was like the perfect character for that role.
Yeah, the only one I really didn't like him as well as was the Charlie's Angels, you know, Full Throttle, where he was the new Bosley.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, that was fine, you know, but I agree. Yeah, I'll definitely miss him.
Sad to say. All right. Well, speaking of more movie news and other movie news.
The Transformers 2 mystery car revealed. Isn't this been revealed like the 3 weeks in a row now?
Yeah, well, we keep finding out more information about what kind of car it is.
Okay. So it's silver, which we've said many times before. And if Jalopnik is correct, we let the debate on this car finally settle down. The car, according to the automotive website, is the GM Corvette Centennial Design Concept Vehicle.
Wow. Woof. Big, long name.
Yeah, this sounds like a really long named car. Yes, this sounds quite credible, as images from previous Jalopnik exploits of this vehicle show a GM design logo on the rear of the car. And just to bring it home, the site has provided a never before seen shot of the vehicle, which you may see below. Now, I'm kind of curious, anytime you see anything like concept, so I'm assuming it was just one of the boys, you know, at the lab, they just got it from the Adobe version to the metal version, or is it actually going to hit production?
If you remember, too, the concept Camaro was basically a concept, and GM just announced that they are releasing that car finally. So I think this is sort of like a staging ground for GM to sort of test to see if people will like the look of this car. Maybe
Spaceballs to flamethrower. Yeah, product placement. All right.
All right. So, yeah, so look for that car in the movie, and then also look for the Bumblebee Camaro is finally getting released from GM, which looks really good too.
Are they actually going to release one in the paint job like Bumblebee?
No. It's so far we've only seen pictures of yellow and red without the stripe.
Well, the racing stripe's easy enough to put on at your local shop.
But it's that yellow, so it looks nice though.
Nice.
All right. Other movie news: Shia LaBeouf may need to amputate his finger. Star Magazine website reports that Transformers Revenge of the Fallen star Shia LaBeouf may need his pinky finger amputated, slamming for massive damage following his recent car accident. Melissa Katz, a spokesperson for Mr. LaBeouf, has denied the claim, reports Entertainment News International. It is a completely fabricated story, she says. Along that route, Shia LaBeouf is heading to rehab. Actor Shia LaBeouf will check in rehab to help his chances of beating a DUI conviction, according to reports. The 22-year-old star suffered serious hand injuries and was charged with driving under the influence after a serious car crash in Hollywood on July 27th. And I guess, from what I am reading in other websites and whatnot, this is actually putting the movie back just a bit. They've been sort of downplaying it, but it seems like this is affecting it more and more.
I'm sorry. I mean, and maybe this just makes me, you know, a cold-hearted, you know, bastard, but it's like, if they're halting the shooting for this, the amount of money that's involved with halting a shooting like this, you know, that was his mistake. He needs to own up to it, and they need to, like, reduce his profits from the DVD or something to help compensate for that. I mean, going out and getting plastered and...
Well, they could do other things. I mean, they can either relocate sources to other shots and or work on more computer models or stuff. According to what else is being said.
I hear you. It just irritates me that, you know.
The first unit involved in production of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen is on a 4-week hiatus due to Shia LaBeouf's hand injury. The second unit, the team that shoots footage, which is of lesser importance, which shoots all the scenes of all these actors, or at least the stars of the films, is still filming. So they're just, I would imagine they could still reallocate, you know, certain bits and pieces, and, you know, and what I'm thinking, one, he's not going to be back to the movie for a while, because one, he's got to go through the mental pain and, like, dealing with all the mental problems, and he's got to go through possibly some legal issues as well.
What, he's mentally unstable now?
No, but when you're involved with a serious car crash, I can't imagine you could just walk back onto the set and everything be fine. You know, I imagine you would need some time to recoup from that. So,
well, hopefully he can lay down on his bed of money and feel better really quickly.
you have no sympathy for him.
Not when it comes to stuff like that. I'm sorry. I mean, I do feel bad, but since alcohol was involved, dude, you brought it on yourself.
Well, I mean, the other issue.
I don't care if he didn't crash, but he was drinking while behind the wheel.
Well, I know, but I want my movie made is basically the issue. So basically they may just are going to be like I imagine the last few shots are going to be his shots, you know. I mean, and then it's going to be like, you know, Heath Ledger and Batman, people are going to be going to look just to the movie just to see if they can see which scenes are before the crash or after the crash. So it'll be interesting.
Maybe in the same ballpark, but I wouldn't compare those two, you know, as the same. I mean, you know.
You know what I mean, though. People are going to be going to the movie just to see, you know, what they could find, maybe. So it's an extra incentive. I'm thinking Michael Bay's like, this is great. It's keeping us in the news, you know. You know, it's a sad thing for Shia, but heck, we're being reported on every week. So... No, yes, no, you think? All right, moving on. So, All righty. Well, what else do we have in the movie news arena?
It looks like Transformers will stay with Paramount if Spielberg leaves. We've reported on this a couple times as far as the rumblings of Spielberg and a few other key players kind of breaking off. If Steven Spielberg leaves Viacom and Paramount Pictures, all of the projects he has a hand in that are currently underway at Paramount will stay with the studio. So Spielberg and company are currently in talks with the Mumbai entertainment company Reliance ADA to form a joint venture that will allow DreamWorks and SKG to split from Paramount Pictures. If a deal is signed, Spielberg and partners David Geffen and Jeffrey Katzenberg will be able to leave as early as November.
So Spielberg trying to either run his own company again or, you know, basically
I'm kind of curious of the three if this was mainly – if all three were kind of in agreement with this or if – because, I mean, you know – Geffen, I mean, he's got so many things going that have very little to do with the entertainment industry. You know,
right.
he's got so many pots boiling that I'm curious if this is mainly just kind of a Spielberg thing and the other two are like, yeah, okay, that's fine, go for it, or how much they really wanted this.
I think Spielberg just wants more control over everything again. So, I mean, you know how control hungry he is. Although, after seeing the last Indiana Jones, I think both him and Lucas should retire from the movie making industry at this stage of the game. So, but that's just my opinion. So I know some.
Yes, nuking the fridge is the new jumping the shark.
God. All right. What else we got there?
Well, big question mark here. Transformers movie, is Megatron to return as a tank? Chud.com. That was a good movie, by the way. Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. If you ever never saw that one, Chud. Good
never
stuff.
Never saw that one.
Good stuff. Classic 80s just schlock. Anyway, Chud.com. I have no idea if that website is related to that fine movie, but ran a story yesterday claiming that sources had informed them that Megatron would be returning in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen as a tank. Now, before I will go any further, I will preface the story and any TF2 rumors that get posted on the internet by saying that those sneaky movie makers from this feature have learned that if they leak false information, everyone will pick it up and report on it. So, you know, golly, that never happens before. So, and I'm not really sure. I mean, he's at the bottom of the ocean currently.
Yes.
And you can just change the modes, your transformer.
Yeah,
mode.
they can scan new modes and as you remember from the movie. But that's
right.
When they remember Generation 2, back when Transformers was slowly on the down slide, and we had the, you know, the more much more than meets the eye stuff,
right,
and the crappy repaints that came out. Well, basically G.I. Joe rebuilt Megatron as a tank, and that was one of his, you know,
maybe
modes.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember reading
was
the
very
comics,
rare. It was
the
like,
G.I. Joe Transformers comics.
I think it was late 80s, early 90s, right before Beast Wars started. But basically, G.I. Joe rebuilt Megatron as a tank.
So let me understand this then. A unit that is designed for counterterrorism and to defend the freedom of the planet rebuilds a maniacal, tyrannical robot in a more mobile, more devastating form than what he was to begin with.
Probably.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know because I didn't read the comic, but that was basically what happened. So it'd be kind of interesting if they are once again bringing in some of the original G1 stuff. But Megatron might be cool as a tank. You never know. So, alrighty, now into toy news. Walmart exclusive.
Sorry, I had something in my throat there.
Walmart exclusive animated board game. Okay, this thing comes with four very small figures of Optimus, Bumblebee, Bulkhead, and Prowl. There's tic-tac-toes, checkers, and a 100-piece puzzle, and a Transformers animated original board game. $19.96 plus tax. Check out the price with a size comparison. And there are photos on tformers.com. First of all, I think the idea is sound, but they're using the absolute worst font you can ever use, which is Chicago. Tip for you graphic designer wannabes out there, never use a system font on your products. It looks really amateurish. Box idea is cool. I like the characters and whatnot. It's just a... It looks a little cheap, although it is from Milton Bradley, so, you know, take it as you will. Cool concept, just, oh, God, I hate that font. hate that font. So
is there still the movement to get Comic Sans banned as an official font?
Oh, I didn't know. Is there?
Oh, it's been going on for a long time.
Oh, it should be.
A lot of true designers really hate that font as well.
Well, it was mainly made for web browsers.
It was mainly made for comic books, thus the name.
Yeah, but it was... Yeah. All right, we're not going to get this discussion here. All right, moving on. What's next?
Well, we've got the War Within Skywarp Titanium figure. And the Titanium 6-inch figures are making a small, albeit temporary, comeback. Yeah, I thought they were done, right?
Yeah, strangely enough, they're not.
Okay, all right. Again, Spaceballs the toilet paper. All right. The first one is out of the two exclusive SDCCTF figures. Skywarp rounds out the War Within Seeker Jet lineup, and you can get a glimpse of him and his review by visiting the website.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to grab this through. Thank you, Bacon, for sending me the BotCon exclusives. Once again, it's the same thing as Titanium Starscream, Titanium Sunstorm. I'm presuming Titanium Thundercracker. Same mold. Different
but purple.
But black and purple. The problem. I mean, it's a great figure in robot mode. Simple transformation vehicle mode leaves something to be desired, as with all the Titanium figures. But once again, it is Titanium diecast, so it's hard to make these things to begin with.
Yeah, because making molds of things is rough.
Yeah, at least from what I know.
Sure,
but anyhow, it looks cool. It's kind of cool. You can go check out the photos at tformers.com. All right, what else we got? Japanese, okay, more Henkai, Lambor, Streak, and Octane images. Japanese online retailer, Ami, how would you say that, Jace?
Ami
has posted clear stock images of Takara Tomy's Henkai Transformers C09 Lambor, C10 Streak, and O5 Octane. Images are mirrored in this gallery, which is available once again on tformers.com.
So thanks to TFO8.net, we have our first look at the robot mode of the Transformers Animated Voyager Skywarp. And while we've already seen the original Starscream figure in all of its glory and all of its angles, these images provide us a look at the new color scheme. So Spaceball's the breakfast cereal.
Well, the toy itself is a pretty decent toy. They didn't remold anything like in the cartoon. If you remember, Skywarp was the chicken version of Starscream,
right?
And it's basically the same head mold, which we sort of were discussing this on the Moonbase 2 podcast, that we wanted something different for the head. But of course, the problem with is that anytime you do a change in the toy, it has to go back through health and safety inspection. So sadly, it's just pretty much the same toy with a different color scheme, but they, I think, could have at least redone the face to give it a little bit of a different character. But because
that's the thing, I would even maybe just a different expression on the face, because if they truly are aspects of his personality, you can make an iconic, expression. Why just not? Just to set it apart. I agree that to me, that's a little extra step that would have gone a long way.
Yeah, I mean, they can do it because remember. When they showed Sideswipe up at the convention, they had Sunstreaker's head from the new universe Sideswipe, and then we finally had pictures that show, no, Sideswipe's head is different.
Yes.
So that's, it's like, thank you, not just slapping color on something, but actually changing it a little bit to make it a different character. So, I don't know. Who knows what goes on in the head of Hasbro executives, so... All right. We also have the Optimus Prime speaker tower. Get ready to rock your favorite Autobot leader. Justin from the trade show in Hong Kong is a photo of a prototype of a G1 Optimus Prime speaker tower by Most Wanted Company, fully licensed by Hasbro. This will be released in Hong Kong sometime in 2009. Pricing specs or information whether this will be available outside of China is not available, but it is described to be about 1 meter in height and does not transform.
That is awesome.
Awesome. Speaker tower. Yeah.
Actually, I think it'd be even cooler, though, if it was actually Soundwave. Yeah. Since that would make sense. But that's...
Or Blaster. Yeah.
Oh, let's not go there.
It's all white. It looks... Well, then it is a prototype, so... Who knows? Who knows? It could be really cool or it could be really lame. All right. On to comic news.
All right, we've got Maximum Dinobots number 2 script wrap. So Simon Furman has provided one of his script wraps for his next IDW publishing series, Maximum Dinobots. So the following is Mr. Furman's script wrap. And just to let you know, this would be a spoiler alert, so skip ahead or turn the volume down or stick your fingers in your ears because a little bit of spoilers for you. For the rest of you, here's how things are shaping up. The good news is, after about 10,000 years or so under solidified lava, see Spotlight Shockwave for the details on that, all the Dinobots are finally reunited. The bad news is, after about 10,000 years or so under solidified lava, all the Dinobots are finally reunited. Apparently that's not a typo. So words, it's good and bad.
The good news is that they're reunited. The bad news is they're reunited.
Yeah. All right. Things go from the worse of last issue to almost unquantifiably bad, especially if you're Grimlock. As Skywatch and the Machination, the former unaware that the latter even exists, let alone is tampering with its mind-controlled mechs, play puppeteer with the fates of the Dinobots. So the good citizens of Fallon, Nevada, brace themselves for some truly foundation-shattering Dinobot-on-Dinobot action. And if that wasn't enough, the massed forces of Scorponok's headmaster army are massing on the Fallon city limits, ready to make very sure there are no survivors. As for Agent Red of Skywatch, he's got an assignment of his own, one that starts to tie up yet another loose end or two from the last 2 years or so of the IDW Transformers verse.
All right. In other comic news, Reign of Starscream number 4, 5-page preview. IDW Publishing has released a 5-page preview of Transformers movie sequel, The Reign of Starscream, as the official website forum states. The issue is slated for release next Wednesday, August 13. Series features Chris Morey on words and Alex
Milne
on pencil. So go to your favorite brick and mortar store and pick that one up. Also, Titan Animated Comic Book website goes live. The website for Titan's UK Transformers Animated Comic Book has gone live. Currently, the website lists the launch date of the comic as being October 23rd, 2008. The site also showcases some artwork for the comic and provides an address to send fan art and letters. And finally, cartoon news.
Looks like our friends in the lands down under will finally get some Transformers animated cartoon lovin'. You know, for the guys who have not watched a season one yet. So Ozformers, the Dirty Digger, has posted that the Channel 10 morning schedule beginning Monday, August 11th, 2008. This has been confirmed through the television station's website, and the show will air weekdays at 7:30 a.m. local time and run through September 1st, 2008, and will run through the season one episode. So that pertains to a very small portion of our listener base, but those few people are probably really excited to hear that.
Yeah. Does it take a while to get things in Australia? I mean, is it that hard to get things?
Oh, well, it's a nation of criminals. So, you know, the first ones that go in, you know, those get pilfered. And the next ones that go in, those get pilfered.
It's like Paradise Lost from the Star Trek movie.
And the next ones get nicked, right? And then the fourth ones get stolen. But the fifth one stuns up. So, yeah, just takes a while.
You've been waiting to do that bit for years, haven't you? All righty. Well, that's it for news this week, folks. But I have a very, very special exclusive here. Believe it or not, folks.
You're not going to tell me it goes with something with Walmart, does it?
No.
Okay, good. No, good, good, good.
No. This is an interview with Mr. Stan Bush, the man himself, coming up right now.
Say it ain't so.
It's so. Oh. And here we go.
Excellent.
This is Iron High 1975, and I am joined here by a legend in the Transformers world and most of our childhoods. The one and only Stan Bush is on the line. Stan, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, hi. Great to be here. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Once again, I'm absolutely thrilled to be talking to you here. It's your songs were such an epic part of me watching a VHS tape of the Transformers movie over and over and over and over to the point where I think the tape broke. I'm thrilled to be here talking to you. So thank you once again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm honored to talk to you.
Well, your new album here recently received the Rock United 2007 Album of the Year. So congrats. And how does that feel to win yet another award to your collection?
Oh, it's really cool. I was blown away by that. I mean, I knew it was a really fine album, and I think it's my best to date, you know. And anyway, it was great to get that kind of recognition.
Are you surprised at how much Transformers has become a part of what people know you for musically? And do you like that, or does that bother you?
No. I'm first of all, I am surprised. It's way back when we first learned that The Touch was going to be in the Transformers movie, my writing partner Lenny and I, we were like, a cartoon movie? We were like, hey, you know, what is this? Because we had actually written the song with Stallone's picture, Cobra, in mind. And but it turned out to be a really cool thing because the Transformers kind of had like a cult following for like years and years. And I developed into sort of a, you know, an underground sort of, you know, cool thing. It was pretty neat to learn that. I went to my first BotCon in like 96 or 97. And
So you would say that being related to Transformers hasn't hurt you in any way, shape, or form?
Not at all. No.
Now, do you have any Transformers yourself? Do you have any toys yourself, perchance? Or do you just have an association with it?
I've got a few of them. I'm not like a collector or anything. I remember I first saw a Transformer. My nephew, I watched him. I couldn't figure out how to change it, and he just like, you know, in a few seconds he changed it over, and I was like, wow. So it's like a Rubik's Cube kind of a thing. The kid had it down, and the adult couldn't figure out how to do it.
So when you went to go see Transformers, the original movie, and saw your music actually, you know, when Optimus Prime does that big transformation sequence, and you saw your music up there with animation, what was that like? Was that like a chill running up your spine? Was that like a powerful moment in your life? I mean, describe what that moment was like back in 1986 was the movie.
Yeah, it was cool. There was a screening for the film in Westwood. Yeah, Westwood, California, by Santa Monica, and the record company was there, and it was very cool. I was like, wow, this is neat. My friend and co-writer Vince DiCola, who had done the music for that, the scoring for the picture, and also for Rocky IV and a bunch of other things, he was there. And anyway, it was neat.
Now, what's it like working with Vince DiCola? I mean, you guys seem to, you know, be able to create some really great stuff, at least for the Transformers movie.
Oh yeah, Vince is amazing. He's a virtuoso keyboard player. I mean, he can play anything. He's like one of these amazing technical wizards, and plus he writes great stuff. He's an extremely talented guy. It's funny too because the way the business is out here, I mean, you know, he should be one of the top composers in the film business, but it's just it's just really hard, you know. I mean, he's done a lot of things. I think Rocky was still one of the bigger things that he did, but it's very political and very quickish, you know, in this business, as you know.
Now, where are you at currently now?
Let's see. I live here in northwestern edge of Los Angeles. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio here.
Oh, okay, cool.
So if you're ever in Columbus and you're in town performing, I'd definitely love to buy you a beer.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. You've got a deal. We'll do a beer.
Fantastic. I know you've gotten several invites to come to people's weddings, so I won't bug you with yet another invite.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you've probably saw, heard, and numerous people probably called you when Mark Wahlberg did his rendition of your song in Boogie Nights. What was that like, and what did you think of his performance?
Well, it was really funny. I mean, that was the whole point of it, was kind of a spoof on the 80s, and, you know, he deliberately kind of butchered the song, but it was flattering that it was, you know, handled that way, because it was one of those very 80s kind of over-the-top songs, and you know, the way it just—it was perfect for the scene. I thought it was really, really funny.
Did you know?
It'd be great to sometime do some kind of appearance, and if he was there, you know, get him on stage with me.
now, did you know they were going to do that, or did that catch you off by surprise?
I found out about it later, and then saw the movie.
And do they owe you royalties?
Oh yeah, no, I got some nice royalties from that because it was a big movie.
So what got you into rock music in general?
Well, I always played in bands growing up. I grew up in Florida and played, you know, in nightclubs in the Southeast and toured around, and later joined a recording group in Colorado, spent a couple of years there, and then we got signed and came to L.A., and I've been here ever since. That was back in 79 when I came out here. So it's pretty much been, you know, I've always been in music. I've always performed and, you know, been making albums ever since then. I guess In This Life is my 11th album, as a solo artist. We just did one album with that band that we came out here with that kind of went nowhere. And, after that, I sort of had an opportunity to go in the studio as a solo artist, and it just sort of stayed that way. The Transformers, The Touch, and my, you know, that album with The Touch on it, called Sandbush and Barrage, that was sort of a minor hit kind of thing, and I was semi-famous in Germany and parts of Europe. So when I went over there, it was amazing. I was like all of a sudden treated as a celebrity. So I went back a bunch of times on tour and things, so...
Well, I'll tell you, I was sort of out of Transformers for a couple of years. I got back into them with the advent of the wonderful invention we call the internet. And when I had heard that there had been, you know, botcons and all these things going on, my friend, who's now my roommate at the time, picked up the Till All Are One CD collection from BotCon. And you did a remix of The Touch and Dare then, and then of course you included a version on your album. And I have to say the song, the versions just keep getting better and better. So my question is, one, how do you keep it? Because one, your voice sounds awesome after all these years, and two, you look better now than you did probably back in the long hair days. What's your secret?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know, the West Coast lifestyle, I guess. I don't feel like I'm my age, you know, which we'll just keep that a secret. But no, I don't know. I feel good. I never kind of grew up too. I think that's another secret.
Well, I think too, you also, like I heard on another interview that your music is very much happy music. I mean, you're very much into, you know, romantic or happy music.
No, that's true. That's another thing too. I've always written, well, besides the love song thing, which I always like, there's always one or two on every album that's kind of about going for it. Like The Touch, like Dare, you know, where you reach for it, go for it, you know, push for all you're worth, that kind of stuff. Go straight to the top. I mean, I had a song in the Olympics, in 96 that was, featured on NBC, you know, similar theme, and I know it's sort of corny, but I've always loved that kind of thing.
And do you find, like, because I find with this day and age of, you know, the record industry sort of trying to control everything, the advent of, you know, like I got your records, all your songs for your new album right off of iTunes and was blown away. Do you find, like I do, that there's just a huge generation, the younger generation now is starting to rediscover like 80s rock and progressive rock and stuff like that? And so,
yeah, that seems to be the case. A lot of the bands from back in that time, the 80s and all, are out there touring and selling records, and they've got sort of a whole new generation of fans. But yeah, it's true. And the download thing, you know, with the internet, I obviously, being a songwriter and musician, I kind of thought it was a bad thing, and but it's kind of opened up a new way of doing things as well. So it's, and you know, it's, you can't put the genie back in the bottle sort of thing anyway. So
it's sort of drawn more people to your music just out of the advent of them being able to get to it easier.
You know, yeah It has been. You know, I think in a way it's really helped me because, like I say, you know, the record companies aren't the final decision makers anymore about what the fans want to buy or listen to, you know. So it's sort of leveled the playing field for a lot of new artists as well as ones who sort of never broke through.
Now, you've also done a couple tracks for various soundtracks. Is this a situation where somebody comes to you and says, we have a movie, this is what it's about, can you write a song? Or do you have like something sort of tucked away and then they say, do you have a song for this? And then you just say, hey, I got this song, you know, sort of, you know, in this little paper bag here and here you go.
Sometimes it's both ways. Sometimes you write for a particular movie or film or TV show or whatever. And other times you just happen to have something that kind of fits. And so you submit it. And again, it's not not an easy thing to get those kind of cuts, especially a bigger picture, you know, like a Boogie Nights or a, you know, I had submitted things for the new Transformers movie and Michael Bay, I guess The Touch was supposed to be in the Transformers live action movie. And then a couple of weeks before the movie came out, Michael Bay changed his mind and pulled the song. So anyway, I'm optimistic that they'll, that they'll maybe use it for the second one. I'm in discussions with Hasbro about using The Touch for a couple of toys, which will be really cool. I don't want to get into any specifics, but we're talking and about that. And there's a whole lot of good stuff going on. We're working on a music video, a thing with using The Touch that's going to be out on YouTube fairly shortly, and I won't really go into specifics on that, but it's going to be a sort of a new approach to The Touch. But you'll be able to visit my website, you know, stanbush.com. People will be able to and see what's happening.
Once again, this is Anthony. I'm talking with Stan Bush, the infamous Stan Bush. You know, a lot of people were also upset for the fact that The Touch was not in the movie and actually took footage from the movie and re-edited it with The Touch in it. And I have to say, it does make it a completely different movie. And when Optimus Prime comes rolling into battle there, it just feels so right to have that song there. Are you surprised at how much, how long that song's been carried through for the last 20, 25 years? You know, how many times it's been used and it still holds up very well today?
Yeah, I am surprised about that. It's that old adage about can't keep a good song down. But you're right. I mean, it's just one of the things with the film, I thought my music would have worked perfectly for it. There was also a theme that was written as well called Till All Are One. And like I say, I'm optimistic that it's going to work out for the next picture. Somebody suggested to me, too, that I might think about doing a really over-the-top, very heavy guitars and version of The Touch, perhaps a little lower and way more modern, you know, and sort of heavy metal version. So I thought about that. I may try to record something along that line.
Well, I heard that version of, Till All Are One, and I thought that could have gone in on that album with, you know, Linkin Park. But I also, you know, I heard in another interview how it was a Warner Brothers deal, and Warner Brothers basically put all their artists on there. So
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
political, and that's the thing too. And I, like I say, the Linkin Park song, it was okay. I didn't hate it, but it didn't have that same anthemic quality that some of the stuff you know from the 80s had. It was just a different time then, I guess. I love that over the top, you know, anthem deal. You know, you get
they could have easily included that on there, but beyond that, what I really want to ask you for, if you could do me a favor at some point, can you release a karaoke version of that? Because I really want to sing that at karaoke sometime.
Oh, you mean The Touch?
Yeah, because it's one of those songs I'm like, whenever I go to a karaoke bar, that's one of those I just look for, and unfortunately, I can't seem to find it. But if you would ever like release one on your website, then I could just go in and believe me. That I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't do it any justice. But that's one of those. That's one of those ones that you just wish you could have at karaoke because everybody would just sort of go, "No, he's not attempting that, is he? He is."
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, You also have done, I mean, you've gone to numerous BotCons and Comic-Cons and stuff. Are you planning on attending any news on BotCon 2009?
Yeah, in fact, I already talked with Hasbro, and the 2009, I guess it's the 25th anniversary of Hasbro, and anyway, that's going to be a big one also because the Transformers 2 picture is coming out, so I'm planning to go next summer to the BotCon 09.
Now, what kind of artists influenced you when either you were young, or what kind of artists today do you look at and go, hey, they're doing kind of that, that's kind of cool? And what musical influences or non-musical influences influence you when you're creating your music?
Well, growing up, you know, I listened to a wide variety of stuff. I really liked, you know, Motown, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles. I mean, just everything. There was such great music, you know, back in the 60s, 70s and 80s. And, I always liked bands like Foreigner and stuff. And, I don't know, I kind of had a bunch of different influences growing up. And, you know, it's hard to sort of nail it down, you know, what inspired me the most, but definitely, you know, in modern music that I hear a lot of the bands coming out, you know, I hear stuff that I've heard before, kind of thing, you know, in terms of ideas and sounds, and we all borrow from, you know, it's commonly done.
It all seems to come back around, doesn't it?
That's right.
Now you have a ton of albums. Now what was the easiest album to make, and what was the most difficult album to make? And you know, the one was, what was like one of the albums that you just thought you never get done?
Well, they, you know, it's funny. Each one of them is that way to a degree. Like the one before this one, Shine, that was a tremendously long process and hard. I went and did, it's kind of hard to explain, but each album took about a year to write and do demos and finally to record and mix and the whole process. But each album feels like, you know, giving birth almost. And it's at the end of it, you think, oh man, I could never do this again.
Right,
you
right.
know, and especially the last one, it's like thinking of doing another album, you know, this year, next year. It just seems such an overwhelming challenge to try to top this last one, especially. It's just, I don't know. I probably will do one. And, like I say, I just have to get my head in the right place, I guess. And, but the European label, Frontiers, they've already asked me about doing another one. So I'm sure they want to, you know, would like to do it.
Well, going back to your most recent album, In This Life, a couple of questions on it. First off, what's the cover about? It's a very, very cool looking cover, and I'm wondering if there's some sort of hidden message inside the artwork on the cover.
Well, you know, I'm not totally sure what the artist had in mind, but this artist is from, I think, the Netherlands or Scandinavia or somewhere. Did a tremendous job. I love the cover. I don't really know as far as what kind of hidden meaning. I mean, I think just he was going off of the title, and a couple of the songs that I like the title song, for instance. I'm trying to like explore some, you know, levels of spirituality and things too, with the message of life being about more than we, you know, our day-to-day lives kind of just go through this thing, and then, you know, but there's more out there, you know, that I don't know.
More than meets the eye?
Yeah, that's a good one, more than meets the eye.
Now, not to get political, but do you prescribe to any particular religion or philosophy, perchance?
Well, I was raised Christian, so yeah, I'm a Christian.
Okay.
I've read a lot of books about Eastern religions too, though, and like I say, I like any kind of spiritual exploration discipline, you know, that's positive. Obviously not satanic stuff, you know, that's
right.
Bad stuff.
I don't think I could see you say, well, who knows, it's Michael Bay, you never know, so I couldn't see satanic stuff in Transformers. But now with the first song, I'll Never Fall, what's that about? Because I take it as sort of like, when I'm listening to it, and I could be completely wrong, it sounds like I'm never going to date again because I don't want to fall, or perhaps I'm not going to fall for being fooled again. What's the meaning behind the first song? Because it's a
well, yeah, he's just afraid to open himself up to another love relationship. So he's afraid of getting hurt.
Now, speaking of relationships, I can't seem to find anything. Are you single? Are you married? Kids?
I'm actually divorced, a couple of years divorced now, but I have three wonderful kids, two of which are grown. And, yeah, so, I mean, my life is good. It's been a tough time, but yeah, it's all good. I bought a house last year, and I'm doing well.
Now, are your kids musically inspired, perchance, or do they have a particular interest of their own?
No, they're not really. My younger son plays. He was taking drum lessons, and he plays a little bit. But I don't think any of them really are, you know, musically inclined. Like my original family, like I say, my brother is a bass player, my sister's a singer, my mom plays piano in church, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, so it's a pretty much of a musical family.
So you were inspired a lot from just your family, and your family was very around music to begin with.
Yeah, growing up.
Cool. Well, you know, sir, I think I'm out of questions here. It's gone.
Oh, okay.
It's gone really fast.
Well, I appreciate it. I've really enjoyed it. And like I say, I've got a lot of cool things in the works, and I'm excited about, you know, the things I've got going on, and BotCon and the things up and coming. They can just, people can check my website. We're working on a military video too to support the troops using the touch, which I think is just an awesome thing because it's singing to the troops. You know, you've got the power, and you got the touch.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what else? What is upcoming for Mr. Stambush? Are you doing another album or?
I'm going to begin writing for the new album as well. And like I say, I may go ahead and do another version of the touch for over the top rock thing, you know, for the new movie, just to see if it maybe would make more sense. Because if it sounded less 80s, sort of, you know.
You know what? I listened to both the two last tracks, and I thought they would fit just fine on the Transformers soundtrack. I think mm-hmm. that's just Michael Bay trying to distance himself from anything that.
That's what I thought too. You know, that things I've read about him, he really tried to distance himself from the original movie. You know, because it was an animated thing and all this, and he was doing a big budget feature, and you know.
Now, did anybody tell you you two actually look a little bit alike?
Really?
At least, I mean, from the photos I see, I'm like, wow, he looks a lot like Michael Bay. At least with Michael Bay with his hat on. I'm not sure how much hair Michael Bay has, but.
Well, I don't drive Ferraris and date supermodels.
Sir, thank you again for joining us on this interview. I've been talking with Stambush, one of the guys that's just, you know, I admire you for being genuine and just doing what you enjoy doing. And, sir, thank you for being ever so humble to talk to an average.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Keep check on Stambush.com and see what's happening as things unfold here.
All right, well, that wraps up the show for this week, folks. So we'll be back next week, same bat channel, same... No, I did that wrong.
Same bat time.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Go check out the forums at tformers.com and call our listener line or send us feedback at podcast@tformers.com. This is Iron High 1975.
And the Piper, now hated by Australians everywhere.
Saying goodnight.
I've never seen anything this beautiful in the entire galaxy. All right, give me the bomb.
The TFormers.com podcast is copyrighted 2008. TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Also, very special thanks to Stambush for joining me on the show this week. Go check him out at stanbush.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.